This one goes out to the Inebriati, Original 109, Red Patch Boys, Tribal Rhythm Nation, U-Sector. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Clear. Giroux. Found Osorio, and then it's played back to Giroux. Zabaleta flicks that forward, and there's a header!
A sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
You heard the man, Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, TFC Pitchside here on a Monday afternoon on Sportsnet.ca and on iTunes and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Thomas, how you been, bud?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, you know.
Can't be a more fitting teaser to open up the show than the savior of the universe, the old Flash.
Yes, or Drew TV Moore. Show. Getting Drew Moore. 3 points for TFC. He will join us in just a few minutes. Now, I've been to a lot of games at BMO Field, Thomas.
More than your fair share.
I've seen David Beckham at BMO Field.
The odd time that he was there.
Last year, we saw Sergio Aguero and a bunch of the Manchester City stars. We've seen a lot of Thierry Henry. We've seen a lot of big-name players come through BMO Field, right?
Yeah, you could
say. Andrea Pirlo was actually here. He did actually come to Toronto. Didn't play, but he was here. David Villa, right? Now,
I can hear this in your voice.
I don't think I've ever seen such a large gathering for where the opposition's team bus would show up prior to the game, as I did this weekend.
How many people deep was it?
The Liverpool faithful waited for Steven Gerrard. Like, how many Liverpool fans live in this city?
A lot.
Yeah?
A lot.
So there's more of you.
Yes. Oh. Far much more.
That's unfortunate.
Liverpool used to be great. Haven't won a title in a really long time.
That's all for the Dallas Cowboys.
That is...
I love that.
That is very true.
It's so true.
It's so true. But people love Steven Gerrard. There was
what's
young
not to
people,
love?
Older people, Liverpool jerseys, England jerseys, LA Galaxy jerseys. There was a crap ton of people waiting for Stevie G. Now,
the true Liverpool fan would be wearing a Liverpool jersey with Steven Gerrard, not a Galaxy jersey.
They didn't know that Stevie G did not even travel to Toronto.
Yeah, he wasn't even on the plane.
No, he wasn't even on the plane. Neither was Gio DeSanto.
Why does this always happen with the LA Galaxy? It always happens. I'm not saying that they don't come with their best, and maybe when the game is put in the fixture is set to play, you know, there's a lot of injuries. But it seems to always happen that their core group is absent one way or another.
In fairness to the Galaxy.
Does it not feel that way, though?
It does.
Yeah, okay.
But in fairness to the Galaxy, in this case, it's not like you, New York, who were in the middle of a double game week and they decided, look, we're not starting David Villa or Andrea Pirlo here. And good on them. They still got a draw. So it didn't really matter. But in terms of the LA Galaxy, Dos Santos and Gerrard were listed on the injury report prior to the game all week. They were listed as questionable. And same goes with TFC. If a guy's deemed not ready to play, if he's not cleared to play medically, he's not going to travel.
But look at the draw. We had the MMVAs on Sunday. You would think they would, like, all these stars would stay behind to, you know, share in the festivities of Toronto. Now,
I would
stretching.
It would make sense to me, like, if you're Steven Gerrard and you come to MLS and whatever, and part of the reason that you are brought here and paid all these dollars is to grow the league and make fans happy around the league. When you go to opposition cities, hurt or not,
you should show up.
You should travel. It might be,
I agree,
the mandate that they should have.
He's been here before. I've watched him play here with Liverpool.
Yeah. Was it at the Rogers Center?
Actually, both times at the Rogers Center. I think once was in 2004. They played AS Roma and on the worst turf on turf I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised no one got injured. And then another time he was here and they played TFC at the Rogers Center. Yeah.
So he has been here before. But look, in the end, it doesn't matter, especially for TFC, who end up getting 3 points out of this. And they didn't have to deal with Dos Santos. They didn't have to deal with Gerard. They didn't have to deal, obviously, with Robbie Keane or Jossy Zardes.
Dos Santos is the big one for me. For him not showing up, I get there might be fans that want to see him play. But he plays really well for the Galaxy. And I don't think Gerard really makes a difference if he wasn't here on the pitch, per se.
In terms of...
I think he's half-hearted.
But this goes into it, like, how this kind of came out of nowhere. Like, even Greg Vanney, when he was planning for the game, he expected Gio Dos Santos and Steven Gerrard to play.
You mean the manager didn't even know?
You know, Bruce always has his team playing well and tough to beat, and he's got a very, very experienced team from top to bottom that... has had a lot of success. I mean, I will tell you that when I found out that certain guys didn't travel with them, I wrote up what I thought would be their lineup, and I'm still going, this guy's won a championship, this guy's won a championship, this guy has played in Europe, this guy's played in Europe for X number of games. I mean, I would say that the amount of MLS games they had from their team still, with that being sort of their second-choice team, was probably quadruple what our group has had in terms of MLS games. So it's still a very, very good team and very... you know, very tough to beat because they're just smart, stingy, veteran players and some very good players.
Yeah, and that's a good way of putting it. You don't have the high-end talent, but part of the reason the Galaxy are so good and they're a perennial contender is not just because of the DPs, but also because they have quality players around them.
Quality-proven MLS veterans. And that's the thing. You're looking at this team and you're going, okay, you know, it's a second unit, but it's a good-looking second unit.
Yeah.
So it's no... easy victory, as you saw. It was a very sloppy and...
it was a sloppy game. It was a scrappy game. It was a, to borrow a cliche used by English announcers often, it was a cagey affair.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but what I will say is...
Nobody knows what it means. That's
why are you
the point.
Your head? Why are you shaking? I'm trying to prove my point. I, you know, just talk and whatever, you know, that's what we're here to do. And I just see him just look off into the distance and just shake his head.
It's like a Hell in a Cell Royal Rumble. That's what they mean
by it.
Now
you're talking
you know?
My language. I know what you're talking about.
That's what it is. It's a cagey affair.
Look, the whole game.
Jean-Claude Van Damme knocking down Sebastian Giovinco numerous occasions.
Do you mean Jel Van Damme?
Yes.
I
called him JCVD on a couple of occasions across the night, even on Twitter, at DataReach0590. It was just, you know, like the one time I think he kicked Giovinco.
Yeah, and pushed him at the same time.
So, like, I was like, oh, there's the roundhouse kick from JCVD, you know?
Colonel, have you lost your mind?
No, you've lost your balls.
We needed a Chuck Zito, who famously knocked out Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Do you have a favorite JCVD moment? Mine is from Double Impact, when he's got the twin.
Oh, yeah. I had to think for a second. I remember that.
Do you really think I wear black silk underwear? The best JCVD line of all time.
Mine, I agree with Bozy. Said it in my ear right now. Bloodsport. My favorite moment is when he got...
drunk?
No, that was funny.
That's kickboxer.
The salt in the eyes, and he's just looking at the screen and just touching his eyes, and he just lets out a very poor scream. Like, I wonder how many times did... Not only did he rehearse that, knowing what we know about Jean-Claude Van Damme, but how many takes? Because it was so bad, and yet it drew me in.
Yeah.
It drew me in.
Now, I guess... we had other plans for our media shame of the week, but since we brought this up, I'm going to call out Mitchell Tierney of Waking the Red, because as I was tweeting about JCVD, he asked me on Twitter, is that the guy from the GoDaddy commercial? Like, what? That's what you remember JCVD for? This is the moment. This is your moment. There.
So bad, but so good. But you see, this is what I was talking to, this point that you were saying. We're talking to a younger generation that might not know these movies.
Oh, man.
How can you not? How can you not know these cheesy karate movies by Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Everybody should know JCVD. And everybody should know that Dennis Rodman ruined his career.
Time Cop was another one.
Yeah.
because not for any of his acting, which it's always poor.
Right.
It's that I think if my memory serves me correctly, he was sporting a mullet, which was hilarious. It's hilarious. It's worth the watch. Trust me.
Every JCVD movie is worth a watch. Okay. Now that we wasted a whole bunch of time on
it's okay.
that.
It's well worth it.
Speaking of Galaxy players, aside from Jel Van Damme, the other player that kind of stuck out for me was one of their attackers in Sebastian Legette.
And Legette. That's what it always sounds like to me when they say
his
name.
Him Sebastian Legit, but he didn't look very legit on his chance early on in the first half. And so I'm doing hits during the game on The Fan and 680 News. And because he is a bit of an Instagram and Twitter star, he does take a lot of photos of himself, a lot of selfies, mirror selfies to Sebastian Legit, and likes himself. And he's kind of known for his social media game. So I called him out during one of my hits on The Fan Saturday night.
Well, Ben, the LA Galaxy should be up 1-0. Sebastian Legette threw on goal. His Instagram handle, they love the boy. Well, the LA Galaxy fans may not love him so much right now after that miss. TFC still lucky to be scoreless here in the 23rd minute against the Galaxy. Ben?
That was with Ben Lewis.
Yeah, what's his handle? The boy?
They love the boy. That's on Instagram.
That's his whole. I can't stand when people misspell on purpose. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But the boy.
Yeah.
I think it's fitting because no man would be taking a picture of himself and putting it on Instagram. Honestly, when I see a selfie, I think you're very, very lonely. You're a lonely person.
He probably does well for himself, though, in LA with all those pictures. He's probably.
Yeah, with his 40,000. Oh, what? 40,000 a year? What did he make? 50? Yeah, he's doing really good.
Hey, he's a West Ham guy. Played for West Ham.
Good for him.
I don't know if he actually played for them ever, but.
Now he's playing for the Galaxy, and his name is Da Boy on Instagram.
Hey, decent player, but certainly missed his chance to put the Galaxy up 1-0, and TFC took advantage from there. The Galaxy didn't have many chances beyond that. Did you see any? I didn't really see much.
No, I think the ongoing theme in the game was a hot potato with the ball, because every time someone would try to play a pass, no one could control the pass on both teams. You saw a lot of balls being just thrown out to the whim, and it just, aside from one save, I remember Clint Irwin made a low save in the first half with his left hand. Great save.
It was a great save.
High degree of difficulty for a goalkeeper given his position on the play. And then there was a cross in the first half that Irwin had to get to, which I love to see because he commands his area, Irwin. He's out there. He gets his fist on the ball, and the ball is cleared. So, really, if that's what we're talking about, LA Galaxy offensive production in the game, they didn't really do much.
Yeah, and that was pretty much it. Second half, it looked like the Galaxy were hoping to just play out for the draw and didn't get it because Drew Moore scores the goal from Eric Zavaleta and Benoit Cheyrou. You loved Cheyrou's game on Saturday. Tell me why.
Unbelievable. I think he played Bradley's role to a T. He was there producing the passes, as we saw in the goal, because that was his pass that came into the box.
He doesn't cover as much ground as Bradley.
No, no. Okay, if anyone thinks Cheyrou's legs and lungs will match Bradley's, that's not going to happen.
Not
what
possible.
He's going to use and what he did use was his mind, and I think he was everywhere. I think he played well with the captain's armband, and it shows a lot to me that he can step up when Bradley's not there and that hole is plugged.
And this is why I was hesitant when people were talking about Benoit and his salary at $250K and how it's maybe not ideal for TFC right now. He's a very important piece to this team. And as Greg Vanney put it after the game, the timing of him coming back from injury was huge.
Yeah.
Because they needed him for this moment. They're going to need him as they play four games over the next 12 days.
Yeah, because he's not a flashy player. He just sits and he does what he needs
and he distributes the ball. Yeah. And that's
key, because if we don't have that, we don't have much after
the pass. And the distribution of the ball was difficult at times with the way that this game was played, especially with the Galaxy, not with their star players trying to play for the draw, especially in the second half. You needed that distribution from Benoit Cheyrou, and I thought he provided it pretty well. What do you think of Javinko's game?
He
got better in the second half. Yeah, he looked a little bit rusty early on.
How do you knock a player when you see him everywhere trying to do everything?
Yeah.
And I understand that a lot of his shots are going right to the keeper in recent matches. But how do you knock him? He's everywhere. He's literally everywhere doing anything he can. He's busting his lungs to do everything.
Do you ever knock him for, like, there was a play where he elected to take the shot from range instead of laying off for Tsubasa Endo, who was left alone on the play.
No, because that's why he gets paid the money he does, and that's why he's the face of the team.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. Yeah. I thought we should just talk that out. Because I feel like TFC fans are almost on that brink where they're saying he's being too selfish.
No, because you know what? If he does that a couple times, then you're going to hear TFC fans saying, he doesn't have that eye for goal anymore. He's electing to pass instead of shoot. His confidence is off. And no, he's not a selfish player. You see him play. He's not a selfish player.
No, he's not at all. Dan Riccio and Sebastian Giovinco. No, you're not Sebastian Giovinco.
No.
You're Thomas Michalakos. Joining us on the phone now is a proud new father, MLS Team of the Week, winning goal at the weekend. He is Drew Moore, TFC defender. Hey, Drew, what a weekend this was for you, man.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I'd like it to be Father's Day every weekend, but my wife told me that would not be the case. But no, a great weekend. Obviously, getting the 3 points was most important, and being able to call my father and then spend some time with my son yesterday was pretty sweet.
The game winner was your second goal of the season. That puts you second on TFC's scoring charts. Now, as a defender, do you guys, you know, the unit, do you guys really, a little banter, a little ribbing the forwards for having to bail them out?
Of course.
That's what I thought.
I feel like I should be tied for first on the team if you've seen some of the chances I've missed this year so far. But you know what? Set pieces, both attacking and defending, are important. And when defenders get on the score sheet, it's not a knock to the attacking players. It's as much as the attackers help us defending, we have to get our names on the score sheet when we can, especially when guys like Giovinco and when Michael Bradley's in are providing those set pieces. We need to get our names on the on the score sheet even more.
But deep down, it feels good though, right? Come on, be honest.
Of course, absolutely. And I think if you saw my reaction from the goal, anytime you score it, especially as a defender, it feels like you're first, and you forget that you're in front of a bunch of people. And but it's always fun, yeah.
I know Damian has a goal already this year. I think it came against New York early on in the season. And after he scored it, I think he was saying you two should combine for maybe 10 on the year. You think you could get there? I think so.
I agree with him. I think defenders, with the service that we get on set pieces, myself, Damian, Zavaleta, who's ever playing, and whoever the target's on set pieces, we should find our names on the score sheet. And, I don't think I've ever scored more than 3 or 4 in a season, but I feel like I should have more than that. And I know Damian holds himself to a high standard as well.
The fact that you scored off your basically your defensive partner's header is an even more salt in the wounds to the forwards for me. But explain to me how good Benoit Cheyrou is for Michael Bradley now that Bradley's with the United States, because he played tremendous.
Yeah, Benoit is one of the best players I've ever played with, to be honest, in my professional career. I was able, obviously, to watch him last season when I was a part of Colorado just on TV, and you notice how good he is when you watch their games, but actually playing with them and training with them every day and now getting some games with them, you realize just what a presence he is. He's so calm and collected. I think some of the past teams he's played for and his involvement with the French national team at times in his past, he just brings so much experience, and he's so stable, and he's just a great, great person to have playing right in front of you. He certainly makes my job a lot easier.
Drew Moore, our guest here on TFC Pitchside, Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos. Drew, you've been an MLS vet. You've been around the league. You know the inner workings of it. But, you know, I feel like a lot of fans and a lot of our listeners, you know, they're quick to jump the gun when the team goes through struggles. And you were winless in 4 going into this game against the Galaxy. And we see all teams around the league have their struggles and go through stretches. Heck, the Galaxy are winless in 5 now after you guys beat them on the weekend. What is it about this league that makes it so tough to just string together a bunch of results?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I think certainly there you can point to the parity of the league. It truly is still a league that really any team can beat any other team on any given day. And I think that's a good thing still. And there's superstars in this league. But there's also, a middle class in this league of just blue-collar, hardworking players that, show up every single game day, and that's good to see. And then I think you look at some of the travel, you look at some of the home field advantages. It's still a blue-collar league. It's just a grind, and that's the word I think of anytime I think of a season overall. It's a grind. You go through your ups and downs. You try not to get too high and too low, but every season I've played in this league, regardless of what team it's on, you go through periods where you go winless and, more games than you want it, to be. And then the next month you can go unbeaten in six or seven. And so, you have to, again, stay even keel and, just grind through it, especially these summer months. It's difficult, but, I think the teams that are able to manage that the best and are playing the best coming through the playoffs are going to give themselves the best chance to win championships.
Are you happy that you made the decision, you joined TFC and you're looking at your old club, Colorado? Did you expect them to be that good?
No, I don't think anybody did, in all honesty. They made some very, very good signings, I think. They stuck with Pablo Mascherani, which I think was the right decision. He's learned a lot in his first two seasons. There were certainly probably more negatives than positives, but he's an extremely hardworking coach, and the organization showed a lot of faith in him, and I think the players are paying him back for that, and they're grinding out results and doing what they need to do. And it's one of those things. I think everybody keeps wondering when is this going to end? When are they going to start to stumble? And they just haven't yet. And really, it's a good sign to see from a club that I still care about deeply and always will. And certainly, we don't face them again this year. But if we have to down the road, I will want to take all 3 points from them. Or even if it's in. I guess it would be in a championship game now. I would not feel the same way, but it's good to see.
Now, your other goal this year came up against Vancouver in that 4-3 game at BMO Field. You guys get them again tomorrow night, starting the final of the Canadian Championship. It's a big game, and you have a chance in your first year to bring home a trophy for this team. Hasn't happened since 2012, but looking back on that 4-3 game, what kind of happened? Because going into that, the defense looked really solid, and it just kind of all came, felt like a snowball effect in that one game.
Yeah, that was a weird game, actually, and I think it really came down to our start to the game was not very good. We were very lackadaisical in our passing, gave up possession very cheaply in our own half, and found ourselves down 2-0 before we realized what hit us, I think. And that's not good enough at home against a rival team, albeit in a different conference, but it's certainly something that we can't allow happen in the Canadian Championship here with away goals being so important. But, I think we found ourselves down in a hole, and although we dug ourselves out, I think we put so much into digging ourselves out that we didn't have the energy to sustain it, and we found ourselves down two more goals again. And so certainly something that we've learned from at this point, and we expect them to play probably fairly similarly coming in this time, especially with them being on the road for the first leg. But can't have starts like we did last time we played against Vancouver.
Athletes are all competitors, and you want to win trophies and you want to win medals. I totally get that. And I'm not looking too beyond the Canadian Championship, but CONCACAF Champions League. The travel is tough. Well, does this, as a player, going to Mexico, El Salvador, will that affect your play in the MLS? Is it an added negative or is it a positive?
I think it's a positive. I think TFC definitely wants to be in CONCACAF, and they want to compete against the best in this federation, in this region, and that's the way it needs to be. Yeah, the travel's tough, a lot of times the games are midweek in countries that logistically are sometimes tougher to get to. But it's what you earn when you win the Canadian Championship, and I think it's a good spot for us to be in. And we have a deep squad, and again, it's another reason why you do want to have a deep squad, because of the travel, because of the different types of teams we play against, and the competition as a whole is extremely positive to be in. And so I would never look at it as a negative. I think my experience with Colorado one season after we won the championship was basically what you said. Yeah, it's tough travel, and it tests your team's depth, but it's where you want to be, certainly.
I know you brought out your little guy up for the anthems, and he seemed to give you some good luck. Is that going to be a bit of a thing now?
It was funny. My wife and I were talking. He had cried all day leading up to that point. He had fussed, and he just didn't seem up to it. And you know, we almost decided last second just not to do it. But I'm glad we did. And I told the front office people who organized it, he's coming on the field every game if we're going to win, and I'm going to score the game winning goal. But no, it was again an amazing experience. You know, he seemed to be to feel right at home there on the field. I guess that's where we needed to take him to stop crying. But certainly something I can't wait to be able to tell him about when he gets a little bit older.
That was great dad skills on your part, too, holding him and shaking everybody's hand at the same time. I was impressed.
I know.
You look like a vet there. You look like a vet.
I was more nervous about how I was going to handle that than I was about the game all day. So I'm glad it turned out okay.
Well, awesome stuff, Drew. Congrats on the great weekend, and good luck in the Canadian Championship and going forward.
I really appreciate it, guys. We'll talk to y'all later on.
All right, there he is, TFC defender Drew Moore in his first year after signing as a free agent, the first ever TFC free agent signing from this past offseason. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, and you can follow Drew Moore on Twitter at Drew Moore, M-O-O-R. More goals, Mr. Moore, is what we should have said to him at some point.
I mentioned the Colorado thing because, you know, looking back as a player, you know, you make a decision to come to Toronto, and it's not a bad decision, of course not, but and then you look at your old team, and they're top of the table. But it's interesting, too, is they have one of the worst attendance in the league this season, and they're top of the table.
Yeah, and Colorado's been a bit of a problem spot for a while now in terms of attendance. I'm really surprised at FC Dallas. Like, I don't know, like, they're the worst in the league in terms of attendance, but
they're the best, one of the best.
They're one of the better teams.
Yeah.
And they're considered kind of a bit of a soccer hotbed there, too, like with their academy and that whole complex that they have in Frisco. It's huge.
Yeah.
And they're getting a soccer hall of fame over there.
And they're last on this list, the worst attendance, second worst, Chicago Fire. They're horrible this year, but it's still amazing to me. Chicago is known to have, it's a soccer hotbed. I've been there.
Yeah.
A lot of soccer fans,
but the team's been quite bad for quite a long time. TFC now third in the average attendance list at just over 28,000. Was a sellout on Saturday, over 30, but a lot of people, I imagine, were expecting to see Stevie G.
And Seattle and Orlando finish out the top three.
Well, Seattle's like insane. I'm surprised they're under 40,000 this year. Usually they're over that, but they've also not been that good. We will continue talking about TFC and the upcoming Canadian Championship Voyageurs Cup tomorrow night against the Vancouver Whitecaps. We'll talk to Mark Weber. He covers the Caps, and he'll join us next on TFC Pitchside.
Follow the guys on Twitter at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
The game is over.
Unbelievable finish.
The Whitecaps have overturned a two-goal deficit in the nation's capital and have advanced to the final against Toronto.
It's going to be similar to the first time we played them. They're a very organized team, well-coached team, so they're going to come out here, be disciplined, and try to do what they did last time. They did a good job of it, so we have to be prepared for that and kind of stick to our game plan and execute better than we did last time.
Hey, it's Jonathan Osorio, and you're listening to TFC Fish Pass.
Thank you, Oso. And this is Dan Riccio. Thomas Michalakos here, iTunes, Sportsnet.ca, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. However you may be listening to the show, we do thank you for that. And also give us a rating on any of those different places that you check us out. It does help us very much. Big game coming up at BMO Field. Thomas. Yeah, I know you don't think so. Still calling it the Canadian Champions League?
No. Now listen, I call it the Canadian.
Look at him backing out.
I
on
call
this
it the
already.
Canadian Champions League as a goof because I really do truly believe the competition is, it's not worth anything. It's just a shiny trophy because you don't want to win the Champions League just for the trophy, the UEFA Champions League. It's what comes with the trophy, and that's millions and millions of dollars to use on your team. So that's why I don't really rate it. Now, that's not to say that I look at this game and say, you know, Toronto, Vancouver, it's not going to be a great game and I will be watching, but I don't rate the competition until it's worth the dollars.
Okay. It might not be worth the dollars, but it means something to bring in trophies.
Until you win the MLS
team,
Cup,
especially for,
I don't want to see any other trophy.
It's fans who really only have this and a couple of Trillium Cups to speak for so far in their,
it's about the same to me,
10-year history. And
MLS Cup.
I think what you're forgetting too is like how great some of the Champions League games have been
in TFC
history. Like,
very entertaining.
I would say
I've
that most TFC fans probably enjoy or would probably say that most of their memories come from that Champions League run.
The best game I've ever been to for TFC was when they played Cruz Azul, as far as the fans and everything. So, yeah, I'm not saying it's not entertaining. I won't be watching. But until
that
I
see LA Galaxy game at Rogers Center.
Great.
It's nuts.
2-2. I remember.
Yeah. Throwing beer at David Beckham and stuff.
Was it 2-2 or 2-1? Anyways.
It was 2-2.
Yeah.
They won in LA 2-1 to advance.
My biggest thing is,
then Torsten Frings got hurt and the whole season went to,
my biggest gripe is the MLS Cup. Until the team wins the MLS Cup, I don't care about the CONCACAF Champions League.
All right. I guess so.
But I'll be
you
watching.
You can have your opinion.
But I'll be sure. Watching.
Just stop disparaging the good name of the Voyageurs Cup.
I'm sorry.
Is all I am asking, along with all of our listeners.
Every time I come
who I know
here,
have grown into arguments with you as well.
Yeah. It's the Voyageurs Cup.
Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos. This is TFC Pitchside. And the Vancouver Whitecaps are the opponent for this big, monumentous Voyageurs Cup final. And the Caps haven't won a game
since that great game at BMO Field earlier in the year.
Yeah, 4-3. And ever since then, it's been a bit downhill for them. A 4-2 loss at Portland in the Cascadia Cup, a tie with the Houston Dynamo, and most recently, a 2-1 loss to the New England Revolution. Mark Weber of the Province is joining us now to get a closer look at these Vancouver Whitecaps. What happened? Just too much euphoria after beating TFC, and it's kind of been a bit of a letdown ever since.
It must be that. Yeah. It's been like this all season for these guys. You've never got the sense that they've really found their groove, found a rhythm. Not consistent enough, certainly. And the record sort of accurately reflects, I think, you know, how they've played this year. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. The suspensions, and I'm not saying this is an excuse on their behalf because some of them have been well-earned. I think some of them have been questionable, but there's no doubt that it's sort of disrupted their flow. They've had so much chopping and changing of the lineup, and I think that has a lot to do with their spotty results this year. They just haven't been able to put the same 11 out consistently. I mean, 12 suspensions in MLS this year. It's unbelievable. We're not even quite halfway through the season. So I think that that and some injuries and international duty has as much to do with it as their actual play on the field.
The red flag for me is looking at the standings. They've only won 2 games on the road, 5 losses in the league.
And one of them at BMO, though.
One of them at BMO, yes. And, speaking about the Voyageurs Cup, 2-0, what was it, 2-0 loss
at
Ottawa.
Yeah.
That's another road loss. I know it was with a lesser lineup. Isn't this the problem here? They're not playing well on the road?
Well, they played great on the road last year and not well enough at home, and they ended up third overall in the league and then bowed out. And I mean, this year, I think the focus was to improve the home record, and you know, you're not going to expect to win seven games away from home every year in MLS. But so for me, actually dropping points at home has been more sort of egregious. I mean, again, New England, an example on the week at Houston, a team they should have beat at home, so they should have won their last two games. Didn't get the job done. You know, earlier in the season, down to 10 men for almost a half in two games, Kansas City and LA, ended up being two ties. So for me, there's four wins right there they've missed out on. If you're winning all your home games, which they should, then, you know, the focus on everything on the road seems like a bonus. So I'd kind of go the other way. I think their home results haven't been good enough for me in MLS, just especially with East Coast travel. Those games are so tough. You know, I don't think you need to win a ton of road games, but, you know, overall, guys, home away doesn't really matter. I mean, in both boxes, they haven't been good enough this year, and that's exactly what we saw against New England. At times, they've let themselves down defensively with bad mistakes, uncharacteristic mistakes for a team that over the last 2 years has been among the best defensively in MLS. So that's been a big issue. And then just finishing, you know, finishing in key moments has not been there for these guys. They had a ton of chances. I mean, they had 68% of the ball in the second half against New England, couldn't put a ball in the ocean. Octavio Rivero finally going for them. So that's a positive sign. I mean, he was nowhere to be found on the score sheet for the better part of a year. He's looked quite good the last month or so, and suspended for the last game, so that hurts. But they'll have him for Toronto. They'll have Pedro Morales back. You know, they have scored some goals this year. I mean, defensively has really been their issue, and I think and dropping those points at home, like I mentioned.
Mark Weber, our guest here on TFC Pitch Side, he of the province covering the Vancouver Whitecaps. So what is the lineup going to look like tomorrow here in Toronto? Are they going to have a younger lineup like they did against Ottawa? I would expect it to be a little bit better. What have you heard so far?
I think they come out with all the big guns in this one. I mean, they you have to win this championship, right? I think, you know, they're defending their cup. They're playing for pride. You want to get into CONCACAF Champions League play. I think, you know, the fans can say what they want about the lineups the teams end up putting out once you get into the CCL, and the Caps certainly played their second stringers last year in the CCL, which makes fans wonder, you know, why are you even bothering to get into that tournament? But, you know, at the very least, it's excellent experience for some of the younger guys. And I think all these Canadian teams, I think, really want to win this Voyageurs Cup. And I think they're going to take this game very, very seriously. For me, it's a more important game than the Philadelphia game on the weekend. So I don't see why it's not their best 11. And you know, they've also got, you've got Kendall Waston, who's two games, one game into his two game MLS ban. So for sure he's going to play. Because they won't need him in Philly. They won't have him in Philly available. And you've got Pedro Morales and Rivero coming back from suspension, so they're fresh. And you've got Christian Bolaños and Blas Perez, who just played 25 minutes off the bench against New England because they were just back from Copa America duty. So those guys will be fresh as well. So for me, you know, you're going to have a very, very strong lineup for the Caps. And it's a game that they can go and get a result. I mean, they dug themselves. You're not going to they can't go down 2-0 and expect to come back and beat Toronto like they did Ottawa, obviously. So they have to get something out of this game. You know, I don't think a one-goal loss isn't the end of the world. Certainly if it's 2-1 and you get that away goal, that's still a decent result. But you have to think they'll need a draw out of this one.
Watching the 3-0 win over the Ottawa Fury was I could feel it from the TV. What was it like being in there? Was it one of those epic, memorable games that will live on?
Well, it was great fun. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's not to take, no disrespect to Ottawa, because I think they're a decent team and they played very well and they deserved every bit their lead in that series that they got at home. But you felt going into that game that it was going to be a pretty tilted field and you were in for a fun night because, you know, the task at hand was pretty obvious. They had to score and they had to score often and early. And yeah, it was a fun night. It was a fun night at BC Place. The only thing you can say about the 2-0 loss in the first leg is it certainly made for a really fun finale to that series. And you know, but we've seen the momentum. They weren't able to carry that over. I mean, they went into a 2-week break after that, or 1-week break, I guess, but 2 weeks away from MLS games. So again, just a team that hasn't, you know, if you thought they were going to maybe pick up where they left off there, they showed again on Saturday that some games they haven't been able to find that fifth gear, and they just they haven't been able to string together performances like they did last season yet. But you know, this is a good team. I mean, this is a playoff team. This is a team I think is better than they were last year on paper. They're a little bit deeper. I like the moves for Perez and Bolaños in the offseason. Masato Kudo, when he's back from a broken jaw, you know, I think should be able to help them. And it's a long, as everyone knows who follows MLS, it's such a long season. You know, now when you get into the second half, this is when the cream usually rises to the crop in MLS, and a huge part of that is having settled lineups, and it's got to start sooner than later for the Caps.
Mark Weber on TFC pitch side. Hey, thanks for making your debut performance on the show, and we'll be watching for all your work. And you can follow him at Province Weber on Twitter. Thanks so much for this, Mark.
My pleasure. Cheers, guys.
There he is, Mark Weber, and again, you spell Weber W-E-B-E-R. So, if you haven't already, he's like the guy for Vancouver Whitecaps stuff.
Yeah, if you're a Whitecaps fan, follow him.
Well, nobody listening to this show is a Whitecaps fan, I would imagine. Mostly not.
Why not?
But
they love Canadian teams.
Okay,
come on.
I doubt it. But all right, Dan Rito, Thomas Michalakos. This is TFC pitch side. Wanted to do a little bit around MLS. How much time do we got here? Nothing.
We're getting a very sour look from the glass.
All right. I just wanted to say this then. Orlando, you guys did an awesome job paying tribute to the Pulse shooting victims. That was fantastic. And around MLS, but that the scenes from Orlando were incredible.
Yeah, I love the 49th minute. That was fantastic.
It was fantastic and moving and
for a terrible situation.
Just great stuff on Orlando for doing what they did on that night. Unfortunately, didn't give up the win. They tied 2-2 with San Jose. And the other thing I did want to mention, New York City FC get the 3-2 win over Philly. David Villa scores. Andrea Pirlo scores his first MLS goal. And Lamps,
the ghost,
Frankie Lampard, played and he scored. They won 3-2.
And they still almost lost.
Yeah, they still almost lost. And Villa was freaking out on people because they couldn't hold on to the lead. It was great.
Yeah, the Sporting Kansas City game. Do you remember?
Yeah.
The back pass goal?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did.
And your thoughts? If you haven't seen it, Google it.
It was a back pass to the Kansas City keeper. He missed it. And he clears it off his line, except it was already beyond his line.
It was halfway into the net, yeah, halfway past the line.
It was missed, and FC Dallas went on to lose 2-0.
Yeah, pretty bad, though.
And there was some news today on Michael Bradley front.
Yes.
Rumor has it.
Uh-oh.
Sampdoria in the Italian Serie A is interested in the services of your captain, Michael Bradley.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Can I say something? If it was like Juventus or Inter, a team that actually has money to pay a salary.
Juventus isn't paying Michael Bradley $6 million.
But I'm just saying, like, if it was one of the high-end teams that have some kind of money, Sampdoria can't even pay a fraction of that salary. Why would he move?
Yeah, I want to have a beautiful penthouse in downtown Toronto right by this lovely radio station that I work at.
Overlooking the water with a balcony.
I'm interested in that. Sure. Can I have it? No.
Not right now.
I'd like to go to Vegas every other weekend, gamble my face off, drink until I pass out. Can I do that? No. I can't afford that.
No. It's not the for you. You have a wife, too. Let's be real. You're not going to Vegas yet.
Yeah. I ain't married yet.
It's coming. And you're not going to Vegas. And that's not mainly on because you don't have the funds.
Well, yes, it has a large part to do with the fundage. But Sampdoria, it's nice. Yeah. It's like, okay, you're interested, but sure.
Yeah, but that's like them saying, we're interested in Lionel Messi. If we're just throwing out names, let's just throw out the best name.
The absolute worst. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos. Big ups to our producer, Emil Delich. Bozy is a happy man as we got to talk to Bajo Husidic last week. Although he did break his heart a little bit.
Why?
Because Bajo Husidic, the Bosnian, said he always dreamed growing up of playing for the Italian national team.
Oh, Bozy, shaking his head.
It was like The Godfather 2, and you could just see Bozy just being like, you broke my heart, Bajo.
He sunk in his chair.
You broke my heart.
Just sunk. Ouch.
Follow him at Eman Delich on Twitter. Thanks for listening. TFC Pitchside. We'll talk to you next week.